And it is a honor and a privilege to be your pastor. And at some point, I'm going to get situated up here. Nothing worse than somebody up there fumbling. But anyhow, I'm going to get myself lined out. And if you've never heard me preach, I just want to let you know, if you don't hear anything else that I say, I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that you matter, and I want you to know that you have not gone too far. God still has so much purpose, and he still has a plan. If you're struggling in your life right now, he knows exactly where you're struggling. He knows exactly what he needs to do to make that struggle come to an end. And so I want to encourage you this morning to cast your cares on God, because he cares for you. Men, women, we will let you down. Your mama will let you down. Your daddy will let you down. Your husband will let you down. Your spouse will let you down. God will never let you down. He will never be late. He will never abandon you. He is always with you. I'm going to ask you right now to turn to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verse 2. And as I began to study last night, I always try to focus in, and God always talks to me all throughout the week, and I always say, Lord, what would you like to share with your people on Sunday morning? And I begin to think about the holidays and all of this stuff, and, you know, the holidays are meant to be a special time for you, a special time for your family. And what I see a lot of is right now I see that people are very tired. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, they're mentally tired. They're spiritually tired, weary, burdened down, lots of struggle, lots of stress. And what I want to leave you with this morning is this right here. God wants you to have a wonderful holiday. He wants you to finish out this year strong. He wants you to finish out this year full of happiness and joy, ready to face next year. God still has so many good things for you in this year. Don't write it off. Don't write it off. I don't know if y'all are the same as I am, but I have been saying lately, and God has corrected it inside of my heart. I've been saying, Brother Gary, if I can just get to January the 1st and get this year behind me, I would love nothing more. Look here. Whatever this year has been for you, I don't know what it's been. But what I do know is that God still has something amazing in the next 2 months for you. Don't let stress and irritation and family trouble and health trouble, don't let that stuff pull you away from having that joy in your heart, because God is still the God of miracles. He is still the one that can take a little boy's lunch and feed so many people, feed the 5,000. He's still the one that says, you know what, by his stripes, we are healed. Yes. Not we were, not we're going to be. We are right now. Yes. We are right now. And so God will meet you right where you're at. And so in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 2, it says here, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And a lot of people say, you know, what does God do? God works. God works. How many of you have ever had a job in your life? How many of you have ever quit a job in your life? I won't ask y'all if you got fired, because I don't like to embarrass people, but if I asked who's all gotten fired, we'd have lots of hands, because there's just certain things that happen throughout the course of life, and it is what it is, and there's nothing to be embarrassed of with that. But it says here that on the seventh day, he finished his work. He finished it. And so it also says that he finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all, not just a little bit of it, but he rested from all of his work. And I said, you know, God, what would you like to really, really talk about? And what I want to minister about this morning is a common phrase that we like to use, and it's called burnout. 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 And a lot of times I'm looking out And I'll be on the Wednesday food thing. I'll be on the Monday thing. And I see it on y'all's faces. I see it on the face of the little lady that I go, you know, when I pay for my gas. I see it at the Walmart checker. I'm seeing it on everybody's face right now. And it's burnout. People are tired. People are stressed. They're worried about this, that, and the other. And I want to minister to you about that today. And I always like to know what the definition of things is, because I want to know just exactly what I'm talking about. And so burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by prolonged stress. When you've gone through something stressful or irritating or agitating or something that's making you worry for a prolonged state, you're going to get some burnout. You're going to start to get tired. It's going to wear on you mentally, and then you get frustrated. Then you don't want to do this, and you don't want to do that. You know how many people say, well, Pastor Kelly, I was just so depressed when I woke up on Sunday. I know. You don't ever think I wake up depressed on Sunday? I do. I was telling Dad the other day, I said, if I wasn't the pastor, I'd go take myself a vacation and miss myself some Sundays and Wednesdays and this and that. You don't think I ever want to backslide? Yes, I do. You don't think I ever want to really do a number 10? Absolutely. That's why I spend a lot of time out of Paris. No, I'm kidding. I behave the majority of the time. But I am a person. And so I'm allowing myself to be a person. I try to keep it in between the lines. But you know what? I don't want y'all to feel that burnout. I don't want you to feel that stress and emotional baggage that comes along with having that heavy heart. So I'm going to minister to you today about burnout. And it says, a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by prolonged stress. It happens when you feel overwhelmed, emotionally drained, and unable to meet constant demands. And I want to minister to you about that. One of the things that I know about burnout, I'm going to give you some tools to help you prevent it. If you're in it, I'm going to give you tools to help you step outside of it and get past it. But one of the main areas is you need to rest. You need to rest. You need to rest. Y'all repeat with me. I need to rest. Let's try it again. I need to rest. That is one of the hardest things for me to do. Let's see where we all live at. Let's see where the rubber meets the road. If I know, and I've gotten a little bit better, but there are times where if there's like a dirty spoon in the sink, and I know about it, I'll try to sit back in that recliner, and then I won't be able to handle it because I'm like fixated on that thing. How many of you know that we do that with bigger things? Let me tell you something. Let's bring it all around front circle. The spoon will be there in the morning, right? Don't borrow tomorrow's troubles for today. Tomorrow will take care of itself, and that's biblical. Don't cause yourself a burnout by the stress and anxiety of tomorrow. You need to rest. If God himself said, I'm going to rest from all the work that I've done. So he rested. He rested. If he rests, I want to tell you that you need to rest. You need to rest. And it says, resting is productive. So don't feel guilty about resting. How many of you sometimes you feel guilty when you put your feet up? Do we have anybody like that? I feel that way. There are times where I've gotten myself in that recliner. Some of the men are like, nope, I feel great. I sometimes, when I get that recliner back, Brother Mark, I start thinking about all the things that I didn't get done in today. I start looking on Facebook and I start looking at all the other ministries and what they're doing, and then it makes me feel less than. Let me tell you something about burnout. You cannot compare yourself to any other person, because every time that you do, you are going to be mentally exhausted and it's going to burn you out, because you can never win when you're comparing yourself to another person, because they are what they are and you are what you are, and the two are different. And when God made you, He made you in His image, and He made you to do things that only you can do. And if you're looking over here at Sally Sue and you're thinking about everything that you ain't got, you're going to always come up less. Always. And over time, it's going to make you feel bad about yourself. Over time, it's going to make you feel like, why bother? Over time, it's going to take the pep out of your step. And God wants you to get the pep back in your step and keep it there. And keep it there. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 90. Y'all go to Psalms. I'm going to finish up Genesis. Just stay in Psalms. I'm going to finish out Genesis. And it's talking about God. And in verse 3 it says, "And God blessed the seventh day and He made it holy." Angel, He made the seventh day holy and He blessed it. There was something special about the seventh day. He blessed it, and then He made it holy, because that was a special day, and it was a day of rest. It was a day of rest. Most of our bad decisions that we make, how many of you made some dumb decisions this year? I've made probably like more than 1,000 of them. I've made some real dummies this year. I've also made some real good moves. But most of our bad decisions that we make out of exhaustion, whether mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion, or both. Most of our bad decisions we make out of exhaustion. If you could hold on and say, you know what, I'm not going to make a decision on that till I rest a little bit. There are things that I've said, I'm going to do such and such, and I postponed doing them, and I rested a little bit. And when I woke up that following morning, I had a whole new outlook on that situation and exactly how it needed to go. Why? Because there's something spiritually healing about the art and the activity of resting that will help every cell in your body, every hurt, every worry. If you can rest, if you can postpone making those big decisions on a whim. Anybody ever make a big decision on a whim? Case in point, the first couch I ever bought. I was talking about this the other day. How many of you remember when you bought your first couch? I do. Well, the first couch that I ever bought, I walked into, I'm going to give him an ad because I love him dearly, Bob Hardwick. I buy all my furniture from there. I'm a huge Bob Hardwick fan. He is the best. So I walked into his thing and looked around. I said, yeah, I want that one. Never sat in it. Never made sure it could fit me on there. Never nothing. Just said, I want it. What was I basing that out of? How it looked. Got that thing in the house. Sat down. Hated it from the moment I sat down. Hated it. Had that thing for like 9 years. It was uncomfortable. It was hard. And it was narrow. I was thinner back then. And it was still narrow. There was no lounging. There was no nothing. There was only sitting on that couch. And it was awful. Now, since then, I bought a few couches. Barbara, I don't care who's in the furniture store when I go. I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to see if I'm going to really like that thing. Because I've learned. And what I've learned is to allow myself the ability to make good decisions. You can set yourself up for failure, or you can set yourself up for success. If you're on the road for failure, you're on your way to burnout. Don't be too tired to make good decisions. Sometimes people are just too tired to make the good decisions that are going to take a little bit of time and thought. Rest. Give it some rest. Rest yourself. Now, we are in Psalms chapter 90, and we're going to look at verse 12. Another thing that I've noticed in my own life about when you feel burned out is because you can commit yourself to too much stuff to do. I'm horrible at that. Brother Sam said today in the deacon meeting, and I certainly appreciated it, and I'm going to pass the wisdom on to y'all. There is a word, and it has two letters in it. N-O. No. And at times, Angel, I've had extreme burnout because I did not know how to just simply say no. It affected me personally. It affected me emotionally. It affected me spiritually. It affected me, Rocky, down to the very core of the person that I was. And I'm going to tell y'all something. You have to learn to say no. Have I perfected that? No. But I am practicing it. And it sure feels good. Because you can overbook yourself. You can get yourself too busy. I know people, they want to work 2 and 3 jobs, not even because they need it, but because they like to have something to do. Let me tell you something. Enjoying your life is something to do. Enjoying your children is something to do. Enjoying your family and your spouse and your dog and all of this stuff. You know, I have gotten closer to Lulu in the past 6 months than I ever have been. And it's because, Lori, I just took a time out and I said, you know what? I'm going to start enjoying my life. And it starts with the two-letter word, no. No, I'm not doing that no more. No, that's not right. No, I'm not putting up with that. N-O, no. No. If you're feeling stressed, sometimes I would feel so stressed because I had to be here and I had to be there, and I still have a lot of that, and some of it comes with the calling, but not all of it. The first year that I pastored, people, I remember a couple people that loved me and loved me a lot, they would say, Kelly, only do the things that God called you to do. I'm going to tell that to y'all. Only do the things that God called you to do. Sometimes we think just because they're nice things that God wants us to do nice things. He does, but you can't do it all. And if you try to, it could hurt you. You're going to feel burned out. You're not going to have joy. You're going to say, well, here's when I noticed that I was having a real trouble with burnout. I would say, well, I have to go do the food thing on Monday. Well, I have to go do this. Well, I have to do this, and I have to do that. And God began to minister to me, and he said, Kelly, you get to. You get to. You get to. You get to do those things. Not you have to. Not you whatever. Get your thinking in line with the Word of God, because when God says, I'm going to make you fishers of men, look here, how do you think he's going to do that? He's going to cause you to be a blessing. And it's not going to be a blessing if you're hating life, doing everything that he's called you to do. God called you to do those things, but he called you to enjoy them. And don't overcommit yourself. When somebody says, will you do such and such? Here's what I've learned to do, and it's taken me a lot of time, Barbara. I've learned to say, hold on, I'm going to think about that, and I'll let you know. I had people. I love being in the community. So a weakness for me is anytime I'm asked to do something, I'll say yes. And I've gotten myself into some predicaments, to say the least. But what I've learned to do is say, God, do you want me to do that or not? I had people this past week, Pastor Kelly, will you come out and do this? Will you do this? We're going to have this. Will you do? And I just heard God say, no. You take your children to that, and you be a mommy for that time slot. And you love on those kids. And you be the best mom that you can be. Because you're never going to get that time back with them. You can go pass out candy anytime you want to in Logan County, but this time is reserved for your children. I'm going to tell you all the same thing. Don't sit there and have burnout trying to do everything for everybody. Learn and ask God what you should be doing. Because the last thing on earth that God wants for you is for you to hate your life. I'm going to say that one more time. The last thing on earth that God wants for you is for you to hate your life. He wants you to enjoy your life. And he came to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. An abundance of joy, an abundance of prosperity, an abundance of health. God wants you to enjoy your life. Be proactive with that. Don't get yourself burned out by overcommitting yourself. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12. It says here, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In another translation, it says, teach us to use wisely all the time that we have. You don't have unlimited time. You don't have unlimited energy. I'm 37. How many of you feel that? I look around and I see people and I'm thinking, how are they so energetic? See, you don't have, there are certain things that you don't have an unlimited resource of them. So use them wisely. Time is one of them. Before you were born, God knew you and he set you apart and he knew you by name. He knew every day that you would live out. People wake up all the time, Gary. They think they're going to make it home to eat supper. They don't. Teach us to use wisely all the time that we have. In the Psalms, it says, God, all of my days, all of my times are in your hands. Ask God, Lord, I don't want to feel overwhelmed. I don't want to feel stressed. Teach me how to use my time wisely. Teach me how to do that and know that it's okay to say no sometimes. So we don't have unlimited time and energy and emotion. So include God in your scheduling and don't take on more than what you can handle. You may have to take a step back and ask God if everything that you're doing is what he called you to do. Every time that God gets on to me about overbooking myself, he uses this illustration to me out of my own life, and I'm going to share it with y'all because it's hilarious. To obey is better than sacrifice, okay? The first year that I was pastoring, I had a lady, and I loved her dearly. I still love her to this day, but I've learned that when somebody is going to only bring you grief and they're going to hurt you every time you have an encounter with them, you got to take a step back. And it took me a lot of heartache to know that. And Lori, she would call me over to her house, no exaggeration, about 37 times a week. I love going to y'all's houses, but I don't want to be there 37 times a week. All right, I'm not even hardly at my own house 37 times a week. She would call me over her house, and she would say, Pastor Kelly, bring the anointing oil. I want you to bless my home again because I did such and such sin, and now I feel like it's all wrong. And being the new pastor that I was, I went and did it. every time she asked. And I started to get agitated with life. Because every time I tried to do something or go somewhere else, it was this chick asking me to come over and bless her house all the time. I know this may make me look terrible, but if it does, it just does, because this is a story out of my life, not anybody else's, and I got to preach something, and so it's going to be my life, okay? And so then, to take it a step further, one day, she calls me up. This is no joke. She goes, "Pastor Kelly, I need you to come over here and get my kids and take them to school." Being the new pastor that I was. Now here's the problem, and here's exactly what I'm talking about. And people do this sometimes on a larger scale and sometimes on a smaller scale, but we all do it, and there's a lesson to be learned. I had a preaching obligation that day at another church, St. Joseph's Church, actually. I love that place. Very solemn and very peaceful. When you walk in there, you can just feel the peace of God. I love it. So I was doing, it was Lent season, and we were doing Lenten lunches. And it was my job to do the devotional / little sermon for that ordeal. She calls me up. "I know I've got to preach in like an hour and 30 minutes. And for some dumb reason, Melissa," and it was dumb. And yes, I said that online. It was dumb. "I get myself in my car and I start driving to her house. And here I am driving. And it was a ways. And God said, 'What are you doing?' I said, 'I'm being a good pastor and I'm going like this lady needs me to, and I'm going to go get her kids and I'm going to take them to school.' Well, I didn't tell you to do that." Then I start getting convicted, because I knew right in that moment, Gary, I stepped out of the will of God for my life for that day. And he says, "How do you think people lose their lives? Kelly, what happens if somebody just hits you head on? Was it worth it to go do that nice thing because you're a good pastor? I didn't tell you to do that." Amen. I said, "God, if you will help me and give me wisdom to know what to do and to not do." Because, see, I was already feeling stressed and burned out because I had something to do, and it was getting closer and closer. So I go, and in the middle of the road, this chick had stopped. This is no lie. She hops out, and she gets her two little babies, and she plops them in my car, and she hops in the car. And I was thinking, what am I going to do with her while I'm ministering at this other deal? Okay. Then, about 5 minutes before I go to preach at the Lenten luncheon, she starts puking all over all of everything in my whole house. And God's telling me, "Kelly, this is a lesson. This is a lesson. Don't step out of my will again and start doing stuff just because. This is going to burn you out. You know how many people want you to go here and there and do this and that? Kelly, I am going to help you because this is going to be a rough experience." She puked all over the couch that I hated. She puked over everything. Then she goes in the bathroom, Mitzi, and she pukes all over that. And I called the one person who is my ride or die when it comes to certain things, and it's Mary McFarland. And Mary McFarland has been with me since I was about 7 months old. No joke. And I'm thankful for the people that have been with our family through thick and thin, because we couldn't have made it without you. And I called Mary and I said, "Mary, hold down the fort as much as you possibly can." Let me tell you, Tina, by the time I got back, All I had to do was pull into the driveway. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Mary McFarland runs out of the house and she gets into her car and she leaves. Her tires were squealing. She gets out of there as soon as she could. And she said, I've called her husband to come get her. And I thought, God, give me more wisdom because I never want to be in something like this again. God, help me manage my time and know that you don't have crazy broads like that in store for me that are going to come and puke everything up. And God, help my silly self for thinking that was a good idea. You can get yourself burned out and thinking you're doing something for God. Amen. I thought, I'm a good Christian person. I am. By the end of that, I thought, God would have to really call me to do that again because that was not his will for me the first time, and I don't think it will ever happen. He's never going to. That was out of God's will, Tyler. But see, that's just how quick it can happen, and that's how quick you can get burned out. I learned after that to tell people, no, you take your own kids to school. You get up and you be a mom. Like everybody else has to do. I'm not going to coddle you and go and pick you up and let you puke all over everything. It's not going to happen. You get yourself up, you get your butt in the shower, and you get up and you be a human and you be the best that you can be. Don't let yourself get burned out. Time management. Let's go now to Psalms chapter 31. And we're going to look at verse 15. And here's David. And he says, my times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. See, when is the last time that you put your time in the hands of God? I remember when I was a kid, Dad did a funeral. And at the very beginning of the funeral, he said, okay, everybody that came here today, take your watches off. We're going eventually to a place where there is no time. But until we get there, realize that down here, you only have so much time. Put that time in the hands of God and ask him, God, what would you have me to do today? Because if you get out in left field, and you get doing things, and you get yourself overly tired, you're going to get burned out. Most of the time when people call me and they say, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to come to church, or I'm not going to this, or I'm not going to that, they usually have a little something attached to it. Well, I did this all day, and now I'm tired. Well, I did this, and all of this stuff. And I always think, there's times to miss church, and I wholeheartedly believe that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added. Make room for God and give God your time. Give God your time and ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? A few Mondays ago, God said, you know, Kelly, you get to do these senior meals. I birthed that through your ministry, and you get to do that. Now I'm going to ask you to start enjoying it again. To start enjoying it again. See, what has God called you to do? And you know what? Maybe you've been doing it. You've been doing it to the best of your ability, but you've lost your joy in it and you're feeling burned out. God wants to minister to you today because if you are stressed and burned out and agitated and irritated, you're going to have a bad Thanksgiving. You're going to have a bad Christmas. You're going to be in a bad mood. You'll probably kick the dog, grab your kids out, Be mean to your husband, be mean to your wife, whatever. Enjoy your life. Enjoy it. If you're feeling burned out, look and say, God, help me to see the areas of my life that are wearing me out. And God, did you put those things in my life? I have to do that all the time. My times are in your hands. And David goes on and he says, deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. My times are in your hands. Your hands. Go with me now to Colossians chapter 3. So we've talked about burnout. I could probably talk about it because I've lived it a lot of my life. I've been in the ministry all of my life. You've got to rest. You've got to not get yourself too busy. And when I really look at what, in my own personal life, what gets me burned out more than any other thing is unrealistic expectations of others. It gets me burned out. Unrealistic expectations of others. How many of you have ever said you were talking about another person, and don't act like y'all don't talk about other people. We all do. Let's just be real. We know we shouldn't, but sometimes we do. I have said, and I'm sure y'all have said it also, we're talking about that person, and out of our mouths we say, well, I would never do that. Well, I would never do that. Then we get self-righteous and judgy and all sorts of bad things. And then we, well, if something happens to them, it's going to be because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I would never do that. Well, you probably would and you probably have. Okay, let's keep it honest. You probably would and you probably have under the right concoction of circumstances. And I know, and every time I say this out of my mouth, the Lord corrects me, because what I have learned in life, and especially in the people business, is you cannot expect you out of everybody. When we say, well, I would never do that, well, good for you. They're not you. When you have unrealistic expectations of other people, that is going to burn you out, because you're going to be expecting something of someone and they can't live up to what you expect. Why? Because whatever you've got going on in your brain, that's on you. They are what they are and you are what you are. But I've said it. I probably said it a million times in my life. Well, I would never do that, and I just can't believe this happened and that, and I can't believe they did that, and we get so irritated. And I have a wonderful woman in my life, and her name is Aunt Kathy. Everybody needs an Aunt Kathy. Sometimes I'll call her up, and I'll get agitated, and I'll be talking to her. She lives in Illinois. She's very to the point, because she ain't got time to talk to me about everything. She says, Kelly, manage your expectations. Manage your expectations. One of the things that will burn you out very quickly is when you have an unrealistic expectation of another person. Just because someone should do something or should be a certain way or whatever doesn't mean that they are going to be. And that can't just ruin everything in your life. You've got to be able to be okay knowing that, you know what, I am what I am. And if there's something going on wrong with another person, Lord, help them and help me not to be judgmental of them. But unrealistic expectations of other people will get you burned out. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. And it says this right here. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself in them. Why? Because you're going to need them. That's why. Clothe yourself in them. Bathe in them. All of that. Why? Because in order to be effective in this life, you can't live on a constant burnout, and you can't live your life and never have any compassion for other people. You can't live your life and be arrogant. No, you have to have humility. You have to be compassionate. You have to be gentle. You have to have the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes and try to see it their way, even if their way isn't right. If one thing has helped me in this area, it's been the food ministry. Wednesday, there was a lady, and I had some leftover stuff, and it was just random things that I had pulled out of the pantry, and I said, okay, this is time for this to go. And there was like a box of them. And in my mind, I thought, gosh, I'm stuck with this box. I took it out here. I was wanting to get rid of it. We're ready to get rid of it, and it's the one thing that's left over. And I thought, I'm just going to go put that in the dump because nobody's going to want it. And right when I had that thought, this car comes rushing in there. She says, I am so hungry. Do you have anything left? I will take anything. And what I realize, and a lot of people don't realize it when they are in Logan County, is that Logan County has a lot of hungry people. Hungry people. A lot of poverty. A lot of people that have that hunger pain in their stomach, and they don't know how they're going to get that need met. Many times God will meet a physical need of someone in order to meet that spiritual need that's way more needed than anything that they could know, but they don't know it because they don't have anybody that'll just say, you know what? I've been where you're at. I know what it's like to be hungry. Or, you know what? This is what this is all about. Come in here and get something. Clothe yourself in compassion. And we can't do that when we're burned out and we're aggravated. We can't do it when we're going a million different directions and we're torn right down the middle because we don't know where to go first. I remember when I had my little kids, my little boys. They're just the love of my life. And I prayed for twins, and Rita has some very sweet twins, and I know mine wouldn't have been as sweet as hers because I don't think I have those genetics. But I remember when I had Carson, and then I started thinking, I want to have another baby. And Carson was like 4 years old, and he's always been just a tiny little kid. And then I had Coco, and we brought Coco home, and I thought, this is great. Life is great. God has answered my prayer. I've got to be a mom, and I'm happy. Jill, the first time that I was home with those kids alone after I had that new baby and I had the toddler, I about lost my business because they both cried at the same time, and I didn't know where to go and whom to help first. I was torn right down the middle, and I could feel that postpartum depression wanting to come on me. And people that don't believe in that, well, try having a kid and see how you feel afterwards. Sometimes you struggle with that. And I remember sitting down and just saying, God, I don't know what to do because they're both crying. He said, Kelly, just sit here and be a mom to both of them. You don't have to go this way or that way. Just be. And sometimes you're trying to go this way or that way, and you're torn in a million different directions. And God's saying, just stay right here in that place and just get some rest. Just rest. Rest. Simplify some things and just allow yourself to stay still. In the Psalms, it says, Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. God is still who he says that he is. And sometimes when we get to doing too much, we start wondering, God, are you going to come through? Lord, are you going to answer this prayer? If you'll be still, you'll get that blessed assurance that you're looking for. Be still. Don't get yourself all in a tiz and all burned out. And so it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances that you may have against one another. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. One of the causes of burnout is when we walk in unforgiveness. You spend more energy and more heart and more of your affection walking in unforgiveness than you could do just forgiving them and going on with your life. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's exhausting holding a grudge. Holding a grudge will make you circle the Walmart parking lot 10 times just until they leave. Holding a grudge will limit where you can go because you won't want to see them. Holding a grudge will make you do a lot of things. See, wouldn't you just love to be free from doing that? It'll burn you out. It'll make you older before you need to be. Don't hold that grudge. Let God come in and heal it. God knows exactly what happened. He knows what they did, and he knows what you did, and he knows it all, and he knows it better than you even know it. And one of the things that gets us burned out is when we just won't let God heal that place in us that was hurt by that other person. I've had to really work on that. But you know what? Nobody's worth going to hell over, and holding that grudge ain't worth going to hell over. Let it go. Let it go. You can be more productive and happier and enjoying your life more when you can just say, God, I'm going to leave that up to you. Lord, you know exactly what happened. I'm not concerned with it anymore. I'm going to just go on with my life, and I'm going to choose to do what you'd have me to do. And so it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Be thankful. It's exhausting, and it'll burn you out when you have to gripe about every little thing that goes on. Anybody know any of those people? And you think, do they ever have anything positive to say? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let all that you do be for God. Let all that you do be for God. My last point is this right here. God will call you to do certain things, and if you're not careful, people will make you bitter over that thing God calls you to do. If you're not careful, people will make you bitter over the thing that God called you to do. Whatever you do, do it for God. If you're doing it for a person, if you're doing it for whatever reason other than doing it for God, you're going to have a burnout at some point. On my best days, Melissa, here's what I know. I'm not Pastor Kelly first and foremost for all of y'all. I want to be, but I have to have my priorities very straight to be able to do this and to be effective at it. First and foremost, at the end of the day, I'm Pastor Kelly because that's who God made me, and I am that for him. You can't let your calling be screwed up because you're doing it for people. You're doing it for God. And whatever God has called you to do, do it with all your heart. But never forget, you're doing that for him. You're doing that for him. Keep your priorities straight. You'll have an easier time with that. I said, God, you know exactly who will be in the service. You know each person. I really honestly believe that God has something so special for y'all with these upcoming holidays. God wants y'all to enjoy your family. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy everything that God has for you in the rest of this year. If you're feeling burned out and stressed, ask God to come into that place where He can help you to deal with that, because He wants you to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy. Y'all stand to your feet. And I do want to make mention, we have some great food boxes full of non-perishable items. Each household can take one or two of those. They're just right in here if you want to step in there. We've got some onion and a few little things back there. I love onions, so if y'all like onions, there's some really good white ones. Love them. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that you've done in this service. Lord, for every person, God, and they're feeling burned out. Lord, they're stressed. They're living on edge, and they're really struggling right now. God, I ask that you would help them, God, and help them and bring back their joy. Lord, and show them what exactly they need to do, God, to live happier and to be happier, God. In Jesus' name, amen.